Namaste. You're listening to A Catalyst for your moments of mindfulness today.
Hello and welcome back to my podcast. And if you're joining us on YouTube, welcome back to my channel. I'm back with another segment of our mini chat series here on the podcast where I sit down with individuals that I like to call change makers and cycle breakers in our community. And before I head over and introduce our guest for today, I encourage you to please hit that follow up subscribe button wherever you're tuning in from so that you can get notified each time I produce a piece of mindful content to lead you back to your heart center. And be sure to stay tuned to the end of the segment where we take a guided meditation through together, and of course we'll have our guests join us in that as well. So Michelle, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. So I will let you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do, the platform that you host, and what makes you you.
Okay, so hello everyone, my name is Michelle. I am a podcaster myself. What makes me me? I think I'm just true to myself. I'm more of the mindset of just be who you are. And if you are yourself, naturally people will gravitate towards you. So I'm silly, I'm quirky, I'm funny. I break out in songs a lot. But that's who I am.
I love that. I hope we get to see a little bit of all of that today.
Break out in song.
Yeah, all of that. Any opportunity you get to sing, please. Okay. Serenade us. I love that. And I find that when, you know, you're yourself, you attract the people that are meant for you, right? And everybody else just kind of naturally falls away.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah, that's great. And it's how long do you think it took you in your journey to get to this point? Just being true to who you are.
You know what's funny? A lot of people say they find that happens to them in their 30s. So, like, I get to my 30s and it's, I'm going to be myself. Screw everybody. And I was like, I was on that tip in my 20s.
So, yeah.
I think 24, I just kind of realized, like, hey, you're getting older and you can't, one, people please people. Mm-hmm. So you're just going to have to do the best that you can, do what makes you happy. And for those who are not on board, then they're not on board. You know, they're not right. Meant to continue on with the journey with you, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. So I think it was like 24, 25 when I had that mindset.
Okay.
And I've been on it. So it's so trippy when I hear people saying, I'm finally at this freeing stage. Like, girl, I've been there 10 years ago.
Yeah. But it's like, welcome. We love to have you here.
Exactly. Come in the droves. Mm-hmm. We love it here.
Yeah. I mean, but with that being said, like, a lot of people are saying that happens to them in their 30s, mm-hmm. right? And so you doing that a little bit earlier, did you find that you were at some rocky stages in some of your relationships?
Oh, yeah. Once you no longer become either a people pleaser or you're really more conscious about thinking of others, when you come to that point, there's always going to be a little bit of a push and pull mm-hmm. kind of a situation. At that point, I was at home when this happened.
Right.
So you could only imagine, like, the they're pulling me to become more this way and I'm pushing away to be this way. Okay. So there was definitely a rocky stage in that because my parents are of West Indian descent and that's a, mm-hmm. excuse me, mm-hmm. eyebrow raise and everything.
Yep.
Like, for example, no was, to me, no is a whole sentence.
Period.
And for them, they're like, no, why? There had to be a follow-up, and mm-hmm. they had to understand. And in some cases, they'll try to change your mind or persuade you. And so I was like, no, that's it. And now they know, and Michelle means no, that's it. There's no asking. But before, yes, there was definitely a rockiness there. A lot of heads were a bud because I was very firm on my, mm-hmm. my nose. I guess now people call those what, boundaries?
Yep.
Yeah, so I was very firm on my boundaries, like, nope, sorry.
Right.
And so there was definitely that friction between my parents. Not necessarily just my parents, but even, you know, people of the culture, aunts, mm-hmm. uncles, whomever.
Yeah.
And, yeah. rough, but I'm here.
Yeah, you push through. Yeah. I mean, you see the smile on my face as you're describing that, because I just want to let the listeners know there's a few firsts that are happening here in the segment. So you are actually the first person that I am chatting with of in West Indian descent like myself.
Oh.
So that's pretty cool. My parents are from Guyana.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, chicken curry chicken.
And you are from, you're...
My parents are from Jamaica.
But you weren't born in Jamaica.
No, okay, I was born here.
Yeah.
So I was I'm first generation Canadian, though. So,
there you go, yeah.
You know, you heard the patois.
That's right.
You really grew up in the culture. You were immersed in it.
Mm-hmm.
So... Yes, I'm very Canadian.
Yeah. No, I hear you. So that's one first, which I'm very excited about and very grateful about. So I know some good gems are going to come out of this conversation. And second, you're actually the first person that I met in person before bringing them onto the podcast.
Yes.
So far, everybody has just been like online connections.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's pretty interesting and it's nice.
Yes.
So I want to give a shout out to our friends at Have We Talked About Podcasts,
yes.
Krista and Sarah.
Yes.
For organizing that beautiful meetup for Toronto podcasters last fall. Time flies.
Yeah,
but
it was last fall already.
It was last fall.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Yeah, I know. So, but I mean, great things have come from it. So,
yes. We were able to connect and meet and discuss.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God for that meetup, because I don't think we would be here.
I know. It's crazy.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to those two girls.
Yeah, shout out to those two girls. We love the shout out when we can do it.
Yes.
And I know that's a big thing on your platform.
Yes.
For anybody who's tuned into your podcast, I know we'll get listeners of all kinds right now. Your podcast is a whole experience.
Yes.
Because you take us through, you give us the local artist shout outs,
yep.
You got the music going,
yep.
And then we get into a really good conversation.
Yes.
So I really admire that. And I love that we're able to kind of highlight some of the other West Indian talent. I mean, that's not to say we named all of them.
Yes.
But to name a few of them,
yes.
And to know we're coming out of the woodwork wherever we can, that's really important. And that representation and the authenticity to our culture as well, I think, is huge.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. And the threat of the authenticity and, representation more. So it came up in my last segment on my mini chat series where we were like, you know, we hear the words like inclusion, diversity all the time, but for a reason,
mm-hmm.
because that's just how important it is. So could you kind of speak to what that representation and, you know, even when it comes to like the local shout outs that you do, where did that come from and why?
Because as Canadians, we pride ourselves as being a mosaic.
Mm-hmm.
But then when we look at some of the shows that are out there, they don't necessarily portray that mosaic. You'll see a sprinkle, maybe one or two, but for the most part, it doesn't really reflect that. I believe like a lot of our shows are streamed from the U.S. But we've got things like Kim Convenience, and then we've got all these other shows. And so I thought it was really important to highlight and shout out, for one, in terms of my artist and song of the month. I think people don't seem to realize that Canada has talent.
Yeah.
Like, hello, we produced Drake, The Weeknd.
Justin Bieber.
Thank you. So it's like they don't think that, they think maybe that's a one-off. Those are our one-offs.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, no, there are great talents out here too. And, you know, I'm learning some names myself.
Yep.
I thought it was important as a podcast to really show that diversity in not only our cultures, whether that's through different Caribbean households or
mm-hmm.
African households. I really thought that was important because that essentially makes up a part of us being Canadians.
Right.
And then the music that is out here too. So I really wanted to highlight that because I feel like there's this narrative about, oh, there's black people in Canada?
Right.
Wait, hold on. Wait, time out. Yes, there are black people in Canada.
Yeah.
You know, and I wanted people to know that there are black people and see what are the struggles that we have. Some of them are very similar,
mm-hmm.
you know, like violence amongst the police.
Yep.
And some of them are very, very new.
Yeah.
You know, maybe something that you might not necessarily deal with if you're an American listener. And you're like, oh,
yeah,
that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted that to come to the forefront because we often get overshadowed by our neighbors to the south of our borders.
For sure.
And I was like, nah, we're not doing this anymore.
Yeah.
We're showing you, like, we've got great psychologists that, you know, are doing great things in the culture here,
mm-hmm.
Specifically in Toronto. We've got great artists. I've got artists that I've picked from Toronto, Montreal, out west, all of that. So just to kind of, you know, show black excellence, I think that it's important because, like I said, it shows the world what Black people do around here. We're out here. We thrive out here. And it also just gives us that platform for us to discuss and tell our truth. Mm-hmm. And tell our story. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, I think it's really beautiful. And the mission that you have is so appreciated. I know I, for one, learn a lot when I listen to your podcast.
Thank you.
Of course. Yeah. And I think it's so important, too, because for me, I was born in New York. So okay. I am very well aware of the rhetorics that go around in America and how overpowering they can be, too. Right. And moving here, I can't say I was sort of like, oh, I didn't know that that happened here, too. Right. Because I see it and I live it, and I, you know, have friends who share stories as well. So, but when, for example, 2020 came around and the Black Lives Matter movement happened and it was so big in Canada, a lot of people were kind of like, I didn't know that it happened here. I think that was when a lot of people started coming forward and it's like, whoa, like what's going on here? Like this happens here too. And like, that's when you felt like the whole kind of sentiment changed.
Yeah.
So was your podcast around at that time, or did that, like, how did that kind of play a role?
So, yeah, okay. So technically the podcast came out in 2019. The idea came out in 2019. So just before the George Floyd and the walks and all those sort of stuff. And then I didn't really kind of know how I wanted to craft this.
Right,
I wanted to do something. Didn't know how I wanted to craft it.
Yeah.
But then fast forward to 2020, then we were definitely having these conversations. And one of my episodes, we were like, was about being Black in Canada.
Okay.
We often know about what it's like to be Black in America. I'm not saying like we are experts on it. We very much see it in the media where they're very vocal in telling you of the systems out there. But I'm wondering, do people know what it's like being Black here in Canada?
Right.
Do they know that those same systems that exist in America also exist here?
Yeah.
Might not be in your face blatant like the States. Might be a little bit more hush-hush here. And so I wanted to have those conversations. I wanted to educate people to let them know, yes, it is something that is here, but I think it's not something that is talked about. Whereas in the States, it's constantly talked about.
Yeah.
It's constantly a finger pointed out to the system. Here is very quiet.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be loud about it. So when George Floyd passed, this had effects, I promise you, on every Black person around the world.
Of course.
So whether you were in Africa, where you were Canada, in the continent of Africa, if you were North America, South America, this affected everybody. I remember how, like, I was just, felt like I had nothing left.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's the you know, these are conversations that you have to have with your kids eventually when they see this. And so we did end up talking about it, but in later episodes about, you know, the passing of George Floyd. And then there was Ahmaud Arbery and Breonna Taylor. So I thought it was very important to have those conversations, to one, give voice to how individuals here in Canada may be feeling.
Right.
How does it look like for us? Is it the same way in the States where they could say the N-word blatant to your face?
Mm-hmm.
Or are they using little jabs, little microaggressions? So that's how it started off as a, I don't know what this is going to be.
Right.
To, you know, becoming more crafted around the time of George Floyd. I would say that was when I really knew what my vision was going to be, was to have Black stories, to amplify their voices, to educate them, to bring on Black people who are knowledgeable, who could educate. Because, yes, we are learning about Black people's stories and how they may feel, but then we've got really educated people, you know, who could also, you know, bring voice to them. And then who knows, maybe you might like what the person said and you might end up, you know, engaging with them as a therapist. Who knows?
There you go.
Right. Mm-hmm. So also bringing awareness to business people.
Okay.
By having them on there. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow. What a journey.
Yes.
And I mean, this is something new that you're bringing to the podcast here. And I really appreciate it because not often, I mean, that's the beauty in me hosting this mini chat series is that we have so many different perspectives and backgrounds that come and weaved in. And I mean, for me going through that time as well, just like you, and I want listeners to kind of call back. I know it's a very heavy time to call back, 2020, when everything was sort of, you know, the veil was lifted and we were seeing clearly what it is. And, you know, hate or love the media. That's where we consume. Yeah. And that's where it all was. And you know, gently call back that time into your mind. I encourage you. And just think about where you were, what you were doing, and how you kind of navigated that time. Because even listening to you right now, I'm thinking about myself of like, this is a time for me to do something. Mm-hmm. Time for me to listen. Yep. Time for me to have those hard conversations. And for me, and my podcast wasn't around in 2020, not yet. It was an idea. I remember writing it in my journal in 2020. Okay. But it was a time in my life where I felt like I had no voice. Mm. Right? And that's a common sentiment for a lot of people around the world at that time. And I had lost it, like, due to relationships, a really bad breakup that was about to happen. And I knew I had stories to tell, and I, you know, was writing them down. I'm big on journaling, writing them down. And like, so that was my idea for a podcast. But then around me, I was like, what conversations do I have to be having with family members, with friends, like, you know, to kind of say, hello, wake up. This way that we've been talking about things, going about things, ignoring things, cannot happen anymore, right? And just like you talked about, like, you know, you having to have conversation with your kids one day, I thought about the same thing too. Like, when my kids learn about 2020 in a history book, they say, oh, Mom, how old were you? What were you doing at this time? I better have a damn good answer as to what I did during that time. So, yeah. That, I think, was the year for me where I started thinking about my future generations.
Okay.
I think up until that time, I was really thinking about, obviously, my present-day self, but my ancestors, like, making them proud.
Oh, yeah.
And then that year was the time I was like, okay, what about my future generations? Like, when history rolls around and we see it repeats itself, what am I going to be able to teach my kids at that time? Yeah. What am I going to say to them? Better not be having a silent mouth. Let's skip ahead a few years.
Yeah, let's
like,
go
no.
4 years. Yeah. That's 2020. It wasn't important.
Yeah, no. So, yeah, I mean, I just wanted to offer that framing, especially to our listeners. You might be, you know, listening to that, might not be able to relate, or like thinking back to that time of like, oh, yeah, how do I think about this differently? Like, there's so many different perspectives that you can come at or come with, and, you know, crafting your own. And when we talk about the uniqueness in the journey, what I'm hearing from you and I'm feeling for you is just so much passion.
Yeah.
And it's really admirable. And like I said the word, I can feel it, which is like really beautiful. So it's like, I want to know more about that. Like the passion that you have, and, you know, why you?
Good question, God. I don't know what it was. I knew when I was younger that journalism was definitely the route I wanted to take.
Okay.
I'm a conversationalist. Mm-hmm. I like to talk. Mm-hmm. I like to pick your brain. I like you to think certain ways and maybe think of this a different way. Go deeper with it. Could be annoying for some, but that's the kind of conversations I like to have.
Right.
And so I think for me, the passion really came in overdrive, or really fueled it, was in 2020 with the passing. I knew that, man, if I had really become maybe a journalist, I could probably have, maybe, I don't know, with the way Canon Media is, I don't know, but I could have definitely had like these conversations. I didn't get to pursue journalism because it was not something where I'm originally from. I'm from Montreal.
Okay.
And so my parents' mindset was more, what are you going to do with that here in Quebec? Mm-hmm. If we were in Ontario, fine.
Right.
But in Quebec, what are you going to do with that? And so they kind of deterred me from going there. Not mad at them. I understand. They make a valid point.
Yeah.
And so the passion just kind of, you know, I think it was always there. I think it really just kind of propelled me in 2020, which is crazy because even though 2020 was the year of devastation and loss, we saw the most growth in terms of people.
Yeah.
People have talked about how, you know, I've changed in 2020 or something just happened and I became more passionate.
Yeah.
We are seeing people, you know, meet certain goals and just going really above and beyond.
Yeah.
So even though, yes, it was a very painful year, you know, and then we had COVID and all that sort of stuff, it really, I find it strengthened some people as well as really set alive their passion. They really went overdrive and it really burnt. So I think that's really where that passion came from.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I hear you. And even though it was like a very tough year, they say like, you know, the phoenix has to burn before it rises again. Like a lot of us got burnt. A lot of us got broken down. But then, you know, analogy that I like to use is like when you get broken down to that foundation and you look at all your bedrocks, that's where you're falling back to things like your values, your principles. Yes. I mean, if some of them don't align, throw them out, put new bedrocks in. I feel like 2020 was really that year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everybody seems to have had that. Like, it was a year of definitely pressure. Mm-hmm. It was definitely a year of pressure for a lot of people.
Yeah.
But I remember somebody giving me this analogy that the finest diamonds are made through pressure.
There you go.
So I was like, okay. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
Or crushed grapes make wine.
Oh, there you go.
There you go.
Okay.
There's a few of them out there.
Okay. I'm learning.
Yeah. It's great. And so, and what role did your upbringing play in it? Because I know my Jamaican sisters and brothers are very passionate people.
Yeah, you know, Sam, but passionate, real passionate boy. Okay, I don't know. To be honest, like, if I'm just trying to, like, link my childhood. I can't say that we grew up in an environment that, you know, foster creativity. It was really, you know, get an education, go through the normal route.
Yeah.
Elementary, high school, in my case, Sejep University. Get yourself your degree, get out, get a good paid job. So I wouldn't say they fostered creativity. They allowed you to be creative. Like, if you could draw, look, that's nice. Why not pick up your book? No.
Right.
You know, like, so they would, you know, applaud, but they wouldn't necessarily encourage it.
Yeah.
I think being in my 20s was really the time where I became more passionate. I was able to see the world better in your 20s compared to like when you're in your teens. You see it through almost like a rose-colored lens.
Yep.
Like, I'm invincible. I can do whatever I want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't know if necessarily my upbringing really encouraged a passion.
Right.
I think it was just something that maybe God just gave me. That I was just passionate, and maybe it was just, you know, under wraps for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then within time, he allowed it to just kind of bloom.
Yeah. So did that come with, like, maturity, getting comfortable, like, speaking even?
I think it came through conversations. Remember I said I'm a conversationalist?
Okay, yeah. Tell
us. So the more you speak to people, the more you have different outlooks and different views, you really start to take in information and you marinate on it. You might want to go and research about it, learn a little bit about it. I think through having conversations, one of my biggest conversations would have to be with my current fiance.
Okay.
And though he's very, I wouldn't say passionate, but he's very knowledgeable. And so when you speak to him, it's almost like you're really getting something out of it.
Mm.
And so he made me look at things in a different lens. Oh,
we love that.
Right?
We love it.
And I think for me, at that point, you know how people say, oh, I like a guy who's 6 foot, or I like a guy who, I don't know.
I know. The list is forever long with some people.
For me, it was, can you mentally stimulate me?
Mm-hmm.
And he was able to do that and really make me think. And so I think that's where that the wheels started turning really for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See, this is why having a supportive partner is important.
Yeah.
At least a compatible one in some way.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, he's good looking too. Hey. It's fine. I just want to let you know. He also got brains.
It's a package.
Yeah, he's a package. Yeah.
Okay. No, but that makes a lot of sense. And so on the flip side of the coin, your upbringing or your parents, and I get that, you know, it was all about the books. I mean, for me, I was a bookworm, straight A student, because if I brought home anything less, 98%, what are the other 2%
did? What? Did your backside pay for it?
More than one time.
Oh, the trauma.
There you go. But see, you can't say this to like the younger generation these days, right? You know?
No, they have no, my kids have no idea. I don't practice that.
Yes.
So that's one thing we decided, you know, we're both coming from different backgrounds, but who practices that? She's coming from an African and I'm coming from a Caribbean.
Right.
And so it's very easy to go, my parents did it. I'm going to do it.
Exactly.
And I think I had that mindset. And like I said, he really challenged me to think of it, you know, yes, I understand mm-hmm. that's what our parents, but do we have to go that route?
There you go.
I was like, we don't have to.
Yeah.
He's like, So
there we go.
These younger generations have no idea the trauma.
Yeah.
That we had to deal with in terms of, like, we got, I don't know, how else to say, beatings?
Licks,
there you go. We got licks, beatings, you know, with a hand or
yeah, whatever came across.
Listen, so I don't beat my kids. I do the gentle parenting. Mm-hmm. He does the stern look.
Okay. Yeah.
And there you go. The stern look.
The look was enough, yeah.
Whereas me as a gentleman, we'll talk through it. Mm-hmm. We'll, you know, if they cry, why are we crying? Let's talk through it. It's mm-hmm. valid and how you feel it. It is definitely challenging because you're also dealing with your inner child at the same time as you're dealing with your own child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are times where I'm not even going to lie. I have to go upstairs and my daughter like, are you going on timeout? I'm like, yes.
Oh.
She's like, are you upset? I'm like, yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so they allow me that time. So I also have to deal with my inner childhood while being a parent and taking care of these kids.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, no, we don't. We're trying.
Yeah.
Gentle parenting. It's so funny because I see these videos on the internet. I'm like, we gentle parent, but we know how to knuck if you buck. I'm not that level, but gentle parent.
We're all trying to figure it out.
Exactly.
You know, and it's whatever works. And so do you mind talking us through like those moments where you realize your inner child is also coming up in that moment and needs a little bit of parenting as well?
Yes. It's usually when I see a lot of myself and my daughter. And so, you know, over time, and I've become an adult, I've learned to not let things bother me. But as a child, anything could bother you. And she's more like me when I was a child. So whenever something upsets her or she's in a moment of self-doubt or she's scared, and I don't mean scared in the sense of like scared, like she's scared of what could possibly happen.
Yeah.
It triggers me because I remember myself being in those moments.
Yeah.
And so what do you do in those moments when you trigger yourself? I remember my my long time ago therapist said that sometimes you just need to sit in it, allow yourself to be held in that space and really call out what you're feeling in those moments.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as in my specific situation, as a West Indian who was brought up with parents who never, I was not able to express my feelings.
Yeah.
It is so hard.
Yeah.
It is so hard. I can't identify sadness. I can only identify happiness.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But when it comes to sadness, I can't say I'm sad.
Yeah.
Because I never would. And if I was crying, remember those things? You're crying. Yeah, why? Yes, I'm crying. Take the face.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you never knew. And so in those moments when you're triggered, you just have to be, one, patient with yourself, because this is going to be an ongoing process until they fly the nest.
Yeah.
You're always going to be triggered. You're always going to feel that inner child want to come out. You know, and then sometimes I think what helps you and them at the same time is just comfort.
Yeah.
A hug. Because sometimes that helps. What would your inner child would have wanted in that moment?
Mm-hmm.
A hug? I need a hug.
Yeah.
You need a hug. Hug me. So we're hugging each other. She's, you know, validated and she feels like, okay, my feelings are valid.
Yeah.
And I will be okay. And I can calm myself down. And I'm also like feeling the same way. So, you know, it's a comfort for each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's work.
Let me tell you this. If you have childhood trauma and you have kids, be prepared to deal with that inner child. Because it is going to come out. It is going to show. And I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm some parenting advice person. There are times where I slip.
Of course.
I do slip.
Mm-hmm.
I might lash.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh. But I think also I think to myself, what would I have wanted in that moment? If my parents lashed out at me, I would want them to come up and say, you know what? What I did wasn't right. I shouldn't have done that. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. So it was a lot of learning.
Yeah.
A lot of breaking.
Yeah.
The cycle and all
there
of that.
You go. Yeah. I mean, nobody said it would be easy.
Ugh.
That's why I say it's work. And I know, like, that reframe of what would my inner child would have wanted? What would my inner child have wanted? Mm-hmm. Or even what would a little me react? How would a little me react to this right now? Kind of like flipping it as much as we can. And for anyone who's listening who doesn't have kids, that reframe is still so powerful because our inner child comes up more times than we think it would. You know, it's sometimes, you know, you might be going about your day and you like, you know, your partner says something and maybe they said it a little bit of a wrong way and you took or you took it the wrong way and suddenly like you're crying.
Yeah.
It's like, of course, your adult self knows that, you know, they probably didn't mean it that way or like I misinterpreted it. Your adult self knows that. But there's an inner child in there that feels offended when somebody raises their voice or feels offended or hurt when somebody speaks to them rough.
Right.
You know, and that reframe is so powerful because sometimes when we have those like really big reactions, it's sometimes not our adult self that's having that reaction. It's something that we felt as an inner child that we suppressed and we pushed it aside and we just thought, you know, not now or that's not important or I'm not good enough to bring that forward, right? You know, whatever the framing is, depending on how we were raised, what we were raised around, you know, there's so much from our childhood that we just pushed it aside.
Yeah.
Because, you know, either we weren't given the space, like you said, like we don't talk about emotions, like we weren't given the space to explore it, or, you know, we just made an agreement with ourselves
that we're not going to talk about
it. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So it comes up in more ways than one. And, you know, those reframes are really powerful. And, you know, it's not always easy to catch it when it happens in the moment.
No.
But when we're out here breaking cycles, it's consistency.
It is.
You know, sometimes we may slip, but we get back up.
Get back up.
And we continue on again.
And give yourself grace. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people are so hard on them. Like, I hear, like, in the mom community, oh, my God, this is such a bad mom. I'm like, honey, God gave you that job for a reason. You are not a bad mom.
There you go.
You know, give yourself grace. Yes, you're human. You are going to make mistakes. Name me a human, apart from Jesus, name me a human who didn't make mistakes. We're going to make mistakes, but you need to give yourself that space to, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And also learn from it.
Yeah.
It happened. I learned from it. We're going to move on.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And each time you learn from it, yes, it might feel like sometimes you regressed, but in reality, you didn't.
Mm-hmm.
You just had a little slip up and you just got to keep going.
And sometimes these slip ups are important because it's for you to learn that lesson.
Yeah.
So it's for you to be aware of what the slip up is and learn from it. Because you could slip up and not learn from it.
Yeah.
And continue to slip up.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So it's, okay, let's stop for a minute. Mm-hmm. I slipped up. Okay, what are we getting from this?
Mm-hmm.
What are the conclusions I'm drawing from this?
Yeah.
What should I learn from this? Okay. All right. I know so that the next time I don't do this, this is how I'm going to handle it.
Yes. Yes. Thank you for iterating that.
Yeah.
Because I think that right there is how you break the cycle, actually. Because those slip-ups, for example, could come from doing what our parents did.
Mm-hmm.
Or from, you know, just things that we thought are the right way, quote-unquote, to do things, right? But then, like, whatever the consequences are happen or the next following actions happen, you're like, wait, actually, that's not what I want to do. Then suddenly, universe, God brings a similar situation in your path again. It's like, okay, here's another chance.
Mm-hmm.
How do you want to handle this?
Yes.
Those moments are so powerful and we get them often. And it's just like, are you aware enough to recognize that that's what's happening again? And there's so many times, you know, where another opportunity comes and it's like, okay, now do what you said you were going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Or repeat the cycle.
Oh, it reminds me of that, those dream shows.
Oh.
Where they wake up, they do it. I don't know what happens. They get hit by a bus. They wake up and they redo their thing.
Yes.
And it's to find out where was the mistake
that
you needed to learn from. So
mm-hmm.
Those movies are trippy, yo.
That's our life, girl. That's
trippy.
Our life.
Trippy.
They are, though. They're entertaining and we're watching it as if that's not happening to us.
And people don't even seem to realize, like, you know, that could be you. I mean, it's not like you're waking up and you're doing the same scenario. Exactly. But, like, it could happen to you.
But it's a real feeling, especially, like, you know, an analogy that I always use, especially when I teach mindfulness, is I imagine humans just, like, as hamsters on a hamster wheel.
Okay.
You know? We keep going, 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 and the wheel, you know, we got to keep running. And sometimes you got to just run faster to keep the wheel spinning. And when we step out off of that wheel, then we see the whole world that's around us, and it's like, wow, the trees are green, the sky is blue, I don't have to keep doing the same thing I was always doing. And it's a powerful thing when we talk about, for example, in the corporate world, I use that analogy a lot, where the corporate world is a hamster wheel, right? And then you step outside and you're like, oh, it doesn't have to be like this. And so those moments, I think, are a blessing for everybody to kind of experience and realize that there is so much more to life than, you know, even the way that we've been living. Yep. Even especially in those moments where we get really comfortable and it's just like, you know, we're very comfortable eating the same cereal every day, wearing the same colors every day, driving the same car to the same job. Yeah. And it's like, what are we doing to kind of change it up? Mm-hmm. So have you ever been in a position like that? And how do you kind of like get yourself out of it?
This is the start of my life. Girl, I got two kids. Routine.
There you go.
I like routine for the kids. Yes. They need routine. Mm-hmm. For myself, sometimes I just, you know, I want to break out of it. And so how I normally do that is reading a book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My favorite thing to do, which is out of ordinary, which irritate my kids a little bit, is to take drives, scenic drives. I like that. People will look at me like, what? I find that it's a routine that it for one, it breaks up my routine. It also allows me to see the world. Mm-hmm. Like, the world is not, I mean, see what's outside of what I normally do.
Yep.
So the typical houses, the typical mm-hmm. part of the school, it's a scenic route. It's to really take in, you know, there's more to just your bubble.
Exactly.
There's outside of that bubble, you know. And so I take scenic routes driving home, and I marvel at, wow, look at this tree. Look at these hills. Like I said, it annoys the heck out of my kids. They'd rather just get home. But, you know, look at the cows. Sometimes we pass farms. Look at the cows.
I still get excited over the cows.
Like, right? Look at the horse. Yeah. My kids are like, seriously, Mom? You know, and they're very big on, you know, TV and what, that's more their thing. And I get it. They're children, you know, video games and all that. Mm-hmm. But for me, like, to get out of that routine, it would be things like self-care,
mm-hmm.
Which could be, I know this sounds ridiculous, but I love getting my nails done.
Okay.
Love it. That's a form of self-care.
Absolutely.
Routine. Mm-hmm. Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
It's about stillness too.
Yep.
Sometimes I have a favorite chair at our house. It's unfortunately in my son's room. I sit in it and I just rock.
Mm.
I just rock in it. Break up the routine. For example, routine during the day would be, you know, wake up, the kids get ready for school, you hit work.
Yeah.
And so let me just break up the craziness of the routine, go sit on the chair and rock, and just kind of chill.
Beautiful.
Again, people think I'm crazy, but it's just trying to find a little bit of stillness, quietness out of a busy routine, especially me as a mom, where you've got drop off for this, play date for that. Stillness. And sometimes, you know, I'll grab a book or turn on an audiobook if need be. I like those calming voice meditations.
Mm-hmm.
Like those, you know. I would say routine driving, getting my nails done. I know that sounds silly. Or just sitting in a chair with a cup of tea and just rocking back. If we had like a scenic backyard, I'd probably be rocking.
Of course,
We don't. We got our neighbors. But that's how I find I break up the routine. I just like the stillness in such a busy time.
Yep.
I think that there's power and it also kind of just, I don't know, for me, it kind of fills me back up.
Beautiful. Yeah. No, I love that. And I love that the examples you shared are so relatable, actionable, and simple.
Simple.
And that is my MO on my podcast. Like, you know, the moments of mindfulness are really just the everyday moments that we choose to slow down in, and we choose to bring mindfulness to them. Like, everything can be a mindful activity. You and I talking is a mindful listening activity that we're doing. Drinking your morning coffee, actually sitting to drink it instead of throwing it in thermos and running out the door and drinking it on the way to work. Yeah. You know, there's these simple ways to slow down. And I love that you illustrated them so beautifully. So what I'm wondering, though, is because of what a lot of listeners I know struggle with and a lot of people in general struggle with is that idea of slowing down. So from my perspective, I kind of feel like it's an act of self-love to slow down. It's like saying, I love myself and I love my peace and I love who I am when I get my nails done, when I have my moments on the rocking chair. So I'm going to give myself at least a minute. Yeah. Even if I have to set a timer for my rocking, I'll set a timer for 1 minute and I'll give that to myself because I love myself. Would you agree with that? Or how do you kind of frame it?
I see it as, if you don't take care of yourself, you will crash and burn. Mm-hmm. And so if you don't do it in a situation where you can do it, you're going to be forced to do it later on. Mm-hmm. And I mean that in a sense of, I've heard stories of people who unfortunately had to be hospitalized.
Right.
Right. Because they were going and their body literally just boom, shut down.
Yeah.
Next thing they know, they black out, they wake up and they're in the hospital. So if you don't do it now, you will be forced to do it later. And then when you're forced to do it later, I don't know if you can really get into that mindset of relax.
Yeah.
Your mind might still wake, like, be on 100. Mm-hmm. So try to get into the routine. I guess it's a routine. Mm-hmm. Get into the practice of taking a time out for yourself. Mm-hmm. And figuring what time out looks like for you.
Yeah.
You know, I remember somebody saying the great way to look at it was an analogy of the typical when you're going on a plane and when the oxygen mask comes up, who are you going for first? And I'm not going to lie, as a mother, I'm guilty of going, my children!
Of course, yeah.
But I have to remember that I cannot tend to my children if I don't tend to myself first.
Absolutely.
So that oxygen mask needs to go on you first before you can help anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're not having children, it would be a situation of that oxygen has to be on so that you can be the best person that you can be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a powerful one. I've heard that one too.
Yeah.
And they tell you on the plane. They tell you to secure yours first. But I know, and I hear it from my mom too, of like, I would do yours first. I'm like, Mom, no, you got to save yourself.
No, first you did. And I think a lot of people, especially moms, were very guilty of that.
Yeah.
Our kids are first. My mom put me and my sister first all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but, you know, she has to, you know, take care of herself too, because, you know, unfortunately, your children fly from the nest.
There you go.
What you gonna do?
And that word that you used, though, you said too, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have to take care of yourself too. I like the idea of self-care being that idea of me too. Mm-hmm. You know, some people frame it as like me first, me too. Me first is kind of, it works, right? And especially in the oxygen mask situation, it absolutely works.
Okay.
But me too, because a simple act of just knowing that you include yourself as well, that alone can be life-changing. Because, again, same with me. Like, growing up West Indian, I see my mom, like, she's the last person to get ready for functions. She's the last one out the kitchen. She's the last one out the house. Like, you know, until, like, we kind of had to, like, shift that.
Yes.
Change that. And a simple word of, like, me too.
Me too.
Right? You know, but now you catch that lady. She's doing her hair. She's doing her nails. Like,
Willie, it's me. Gonna. All right. Ma, see them nails, mommy. Okay. No, but it's true, me too, because I think it would be me last, if you think of it through them.
Mm-hmm.
It's you first, me last.
Yeah.
But me too, because you should also be included in that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, this is a form of self-care, I guess, for me. My partner's taking care of the kids.
Yeah.
Coming here to have a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Me too. You know, it's my day.
You go. And it can be that simple. And I love that the little systems that you have set up in your life to allow you that space. And so, you know, coming back to your craft, those spaces are so important, those safe spaces. And I know I'm big on them too, because I do believe that everybody, no matter how well they cover it, how well they carry it, there's a deeper story in there.
Oh, yeah.
And we all have it to share. And so, you know, to you listening at home or wherever, like, it could be as simple as that. The thing that you were so good at facilitating, so good at doing, whether that's having a conversation, making people feel comfortable, like, there is room for you. And that's just the reminder that I want to drive home, and like, you know, the piece of the puzzle that I want to pull from like Michelle's passion here that she's sharing, because I think it's contagious. Yes. And like, you know, I hope that the listeners are really feeling your passion and your drive and your commitment to sharing the stories that you do. And, you know, it inspires some people at home to speak up some more.
It's funny about inspiration. You don't seem to realize is, I'm just going to do it in category because like this is how I could really describe it. Mm-hmm. But as Gen Zs, Millennials, mm-hmm. and Gen Xs, you don't seem to realize how it actually inspires the elder generation.
Mm. Yeah.
So we might see it among us as a community, but you'd be surprised. The older generation is looking and they're actually very inspired too.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So.
Yep.
Speak at your girl.
There you go. You heard it. We said it. It's powerful work. Yeah. Well, thank you for doing that work, Michelle, and your platform and your home beyond. And so with all that we've touched upon, is there anything else that you feel listeners need to know about you, need to know about the world right now?
About me and the world. I would say, especially, I have to say this because recently somebody, I don't know this particular person, but somebody recently of a very young age passed. And so what my thing is, do it now. Don't get to the point where, you know, whatever you believe, whether it's God's calling you home or you're going back to a white light or divine, whatever it is, do it now. I think a lot of people live in the regret when they... they're at their deathbed, like, I didn't get to do it now. So I would say, get it out now. What do you have to lose?
Mm-hmm.
Right? If there's something that you're passionate about, do it.
Yep.
You know, I would rather you say, you know what? I tried it.
There you go.
Then, dang, I wish, because unfortunately he passed so young. Mind you, he's very big in the, it seems to me from what I'm learning about it, he seems to be very big in the culture, the community, and he died so young. Mm. So I think for me, the biggest takeaway that I want you to get from my passion is find that thing, that passion that you're passionate about, that fuels you, and just do it. Mm. At least say you did it, even if it didn't work out.
Yep.
Just do it.
Mm-hmm.
And about me, follow my podcast. I don't know.
Of course. Yes. We'll get all the links toward the end of the segment, of course. But that was a beautiful message. And it really drives the point home. Because, you know, you hear it so many times. But when something like a tragedy hits home, unfortunately, but fortunately, that's when a lot of people start to wake up about it.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And you should never wait to that point where there's tragedy.
Yep.
You know, it's not like you're going to be living here forever. There comes a point where we go back to the dirt, the dust, mm-hmm. wherever you want to call it.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think it's just very important that people really, you know, find things that are, and I think now I would speak more so on maybe African and Caribbean kids. Now we are able to do that because I believe, you know, growing up the mindset was like education and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And so now we have that ability to foster our inner child. You know, like my partner's like big on cooking. Who knew? So he's cooking up a storm.
Okay.
You know, I guess maybe that childhood in him wanted to always cook and now he's cooking.
Yeah.
You know? So, you know, what was it that you were so passionate about as a kid?
Mm-hmm.
Try looking at that. My sister can draw her butt off.
Yeah.
Knows how to draw.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she comes back to drawing it and it mm-hmm. feeds her.
Yeah.
So what feeds you?
Mm-hmm. That's right. A huge one. And I share that a lot in my one-on-one energy healing sessions where, you know, we feel like we're stuck or we feel like we just need an outlet. Mm-hmm. Or like, you know, that hamster wheel is really tiring us. How can we slow it down? Well, what did you enjoy as a kid?
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much power and there's so much honesty and truth in our younger selves because that's when, you know, the world, we weren't tainted by the world.
Yeah, that's true. We were the most innocent as in our youth. And then mm-hmm. as you get older, you become more mindful, you become more aware. And then you know, you start to kind of chisel a little way at the child.
Mm-hmm.
Until the adult comes out,
mm-hmm.
right? And so it's funny because I think I read something along the lines as kids we were itching to become adults, but now as adults we're wanting to be children.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So I'm like, that is interesting.
Ain't it true though?
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm.
It is. If it wasn't for, you know, the typical things that we need to do in life, I think a lot of us would have probably had been able to foster the child as a child and not as an adult. You know, you have the you have to be able to go through school, get your education, all of that.
Yeah.
So I think if, you know, we didn't have such a rush in our life, then maybe we would have better, for most of us, better foster the child and not have to tend to it as an adult.
Yeah.
But I think it's nice that, you know, we could all kind of relate as like West Indians and even Africans. I spoke with some Africans and they say, you too?
Yeah.
So it's nice to have that part we can relate on.
Yeah.
But it's also nice to see them grow and, you know, become, you know, not, I mean, not necessarily become the child, but allow their child to come out and follow their passion and their dream. So I enjoy that.
Me too. Yeah. It's a great way to live.
It is. It is a good way to live. I think that eventually, if you keep living on this hamster wheel, as you were saying, it gets exhausting.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, working in the corporate world, dealing with Karens, whatever. It gets exhausting, and you do need to find an outlet to either release the tension, release the stress, or you need to find a community that you can kind of lean on. Because if you don't do any of those, whichever it can lead to burnout.
Oh, absolutely. And it happens more often than not. I mean, I had my bout of burnout just recently, even though, you know, and it forced me to really practice everything that I preach. Because, I mean, I'm still human, too. I still have my slip-ups. And it was, like, a major one where I was just going. And I wasn't proactively building in the time to replenish myself. And before I knew it, boop, I was just burnt out and sick. And I got sick over it. And now I'm coming over that cold. So it was very recent, right? But it was just, like you said, like, if you don't do it now, you get forced to do it.
That's right. And I think also, I can hear like the creatives through the computer. It's not that easy, Michelle. Yes, I know. Because as a creator or creative, you know, you're always constantly making some sort of content.
That's it. Yeah.
So it's not necessarily always easy because for some people, they've got a 9-to-5 and this is their 5-to-9.
Yeah.
Right? So it's not necessarily easy. And this is why I encourage people, like, if you're going to go down that, just remember that, you know, you can't do it all. And I know when you're first starting off, for some people, they may not necessarily have the funds to outsource their work or get it, like, edited or whatever that sorts. They have to do it themselves. I think what it is that just be transparent in your creative journey. And also be honest, if you cannot do posting every day, try posting twice a week.
Yeah.
Once a week, whatever. It has to be realistic, and so that you don't get to those levels of burnout. I know for a lot of creatives, they're establishing themselves. And not only are they just establishing themselves, there's life. Somebody's getting married. Somebody's having a kid. You know, like, life also continues.
Absolutely.
So it is very much possible that you may say to yourself, I need to practice more quiet time, more self-care, whatever. But then life is like,
life happens.
That's not happening.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, give yourself, this is why my podcast, I give myself the whole summer off. We're off from July up until September because that's my time to, that's my me time. Also, the kids are out. I want to spend some time with my kids. You know? So also just remind yourself that, yes, even though I'm on this creative process, I do also need to take that time out. I can't, or else I too will burn myself out.
Of course, yeah. And I mean, like you said, do it to your capacity, but also be authentic about it too. Like, why? What is the reason why? What is your why?
That's it.
For creating, right? And is your why intertwined with having to post every day, having to do things at a certain quantity, or is it the quality, or is it just the consistency that you're going for? I feel like the authenticity in the work really has to be there.
Oh, I agree with you. People like quality over quantity.
Yeah.
Because the amount of times people are like, I really enjoyed your podcast. And I'm like, hold on, what? Come again, repeat. And they just like the quality, the conversations, the insight. Because you could bang out quantity. You could bang, bang, bang. But is it really leaving impact? Is it really something that is starting conversation? Or are you just trying to attain numbers?
Yeah. There you go.
And so that's what I mean, yes, of course, if you're on YouTube, I don't understand the YouTube algorithm. So I get it. You need to pump out. Get it fine. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think that's what's so good about being a podcaster, an audio podcaster, is you don't get to see algorithm numbers. You don't get to see, I mean, you don't see it in the sense like a YouTube where people are following. You see who's listening. Mm-hmm. But you don't see like you got 2.5K followers. Or,
right.
You know, those kind of things. Mm-hmm. So I think that allows you to really, you know, provide one quality and also space out and also take some time for self-care.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, I could understand YouTube is a little bit more of a grind.
Mm-hmm. It is. But I also, like, especially for listeners who are even thinking about creating or are already creating. And when we talk about so far, like, the capacity, the authenticity, just know that it always comes back to the systems. And that's something that I'm learning right now too, especially even prior to feeling burnt out. It was like, what's the system that works for me in terms of like creating content for social media, creating content for my podcast, for YouTube? Like, what is the system? Like, I have to be able to chunk up my work so that I'm doing it at X amount of time, knowing that I have X amount of time, knowing that it's away from like life responsibilities, work responsibilities. Right. So it's like finding the thing that works for you.
Yeah.
Like, you know, whether you're going to be on all platforms and be just one platform, whatever works, it's just like, it's exhausting. Exactly. It so it's like, how can we do it so that you also get to sleep?
Because it is a second job, essentially, you know? So all that free time that you normally would have after your 9-to-5 is now doing that. Yeah. But again, like you say, you have to bring it back to your why.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have that drive or that push or that determination, then it's just not going to work. Like, you'll start and you're like,
exactly.
I don't want to do this anymore, right? So it's your why, what's driving you, what's your passion. But yeah, I think. It's so interesting to be a creator.
I know,
it's so weird, like, to say I'm a creator.
So I rejected that word for a long time, actually.
Really?
I didn't accept it, because my friends would tell me, they're like, you're a content creator. I'm like, no, I'm not. But that's literally what I do. That's what you do too.
And you're so right. It's just, it's weird.
It's weird,
because for me, I'm the type of person where I could plug in, see the information, and immediately just plug out. So now that I'm considered among that world, it's weird to be like, oh, I'm a creator? Like, I don't even tell people about my podcast. And it's surprising, people will be like, I heard your podcast. I'm like, you did?
I didn't tell you.
Exactly. I didn't tell you.
How'd you find me?
Because I don't go out, like, publicizing it. Like, it's not like, you know, like, hey, I've got a podcast. I'm a So it's just, like, the thought of being called a creator, I'm just like, It's weird.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean,
but I guess it's gonna be, I mean, I'm about 2020, so 4 years in.
Yeah.
So I should call myself a creator now.
I think you're a creator.
It'll come. One day you'll hear it come out of my mouth. Right now you won't.
Yeah, no, I get it. It took me a while too. Like 2021 I started my podcast and I don't think I really accepted the creator title maybe until like end of last year.
Okay, see?
Yeah.
See? Process.
And yeah, what it took was, I think, like posting more regularly on maybe like Instagram so that I saw content in a different medium beyond my podcast. So I was like, yeah, I'm creating content. I get it.
Yes. That's how I see it too. And, like, you are creating content, but just to be called a creator.
No, there's something that has to happen in our minds to accept it, but.
Yeah, I think I'm fighting.
Tell me when it does.
I'll let you know when it comes. Yeah. If you hear me, oh my gosh, Michelle said she's a creator. Oh. It's going to take time, and then you find yourself in spaces with creators too. Mm-hmm. And you could easily just say they're a creator. Like, oh,
yes,
that's a creator. I hang out with kids. She's a creator. I hang out with this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But then when you look at yourself, you're like, huh? What?
I'm one of them.
I'm one of the group. Me? Mm-hmm. Okay. So yeah, it's nice, and it's great to hear, you know, when people say that they listen to my podcast, because I think people have the mindset that this is only a black only podcast. Black people. And it's not a black only podcast, which is nice, because when I do find people come up to me and approach me, they're not black people, they're people of other race, ethnicity, and nationalities. Yeah. So it's not like, oh, we're black and we only talk about black stuff. we do talk about Black issues. Yeah. We do bring them to the forefront, but it's to educate. It's to let people know that, especially if you didn't know, yes, there is racism here. Yeah. Yes, there is microaggression here. Here are examples of people who have had to deal. This is what it looks like. Mm-hmm. It's to bring awareness. It is not to, like, Black people are the only race and they're the dominant race. And like that.
No, it's definitely not that. Yeah.
It is just more so to educate. You know, mm-hmm. So when I share a shot of melon, then they look at me like, so what's that about? You know?
Yeah.
So it's really just, you know, and, you know, we do have moments of fun times too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not going to make this like a strictly, I am a millennial. We also like to have fun.
Yes, of course.
So we'll do episodes that are fun, silly,
mm-hmm.
You know, just to get a laugh out of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just, you know, a good time. That's why I named it A Shot of Melon. In my mind, whenever I think of a good time, I think of us at a party,
yeah,
grabbing a shot.
Okay.
Yes!
There you go.
So a shot of, was the shot. Mm. That's why there's a shot class, and melanin is because of our melanin.
Of course.
Skin.
Yes.
So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, there you have it. Yeah. A good time on Michelle's podcast, yeah. Of course. And you certainly brought a great time to my podcast,
oh,
too.
Yes.
So thank you for that.
Sure.
And as my listeners know, and as you know, I end every segment with a brief guided meditation. I call them a few moments of mindfulness. So I invite you to join me. And listeners, if you are somewhere where it's safe to close your eyes, Michelle, I invite you to close your eyes as well. Just relaxing the shoulders, feeling into your body now. Maybe uncrossing your legs, grounding your feet onto the floor. Noticing your breath. Now taking a deep inhale through the nose, filling up your belly, filling up your chest, feeling that breath fully inhale. And exhale through the mouth, letting it go. Settling into the space around you. Just for a few moments here, as we reflect and integrate on all the wisdom shared in this segment, tuning inwards to yourself. Perhaps imagining yourself, either present day self or your inner child, bringing an image to your mind. Just speak love into yourself. Taking a few more breaths here, expressing your gratitude for tuning in with us today, for giving yourself space for these brief moments of mindfulness here. Taking a deep inhale through the nose and exhale completely. And just know that these moments of mindfulness are accessible to you at any time throughout your day, throughout your week. Just tuning inwards and focusing on your breath. And when you're ready, I invite you to open up your eyes, being gentle with the lights around you. Thank you for joining me for that.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. And so just one more time for the listeners, where can they find you?
Yes, for sure. So you can find me on Instagram at A Shot of Melanin. It's one word. You can find me on, we do have YouTube as well. It would be A Shot of Melanin Pod. We haven't yet dropped the newest season visually. We're still audio right now. Once the season ends, all visual content will start to be uploaded on the podcast YouTube channel. We're also on X, formerly known as Twitter. ASOM_pod. Threads, A Shot of Melanin, and Facebook, A Shot of Melanin. And you can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Awesome. Perfect. And I'll definitely leave all the links to your pages in the show notes so that you can easily access Michelle and all her magic. So once again, Michelle, thank you so much for all of your gems dropped. Yes. And just your good energy today. We really appreciate it. And thank you all at home for tuning in. I hope you all enjoyed it. please be sure to follow Michelle, follow Catalyst by Kaylin, and tune into our next segment where I'll be bringing you another great interview from a changemaker or cycle breaker in your community. Thank you so much, and namaste.